welcome to a special, very brief edition of Dear Hank and John.
It's the AFC Wimbledon and Mars Spectacular. So listen, we had like a series of very long business meetings this week, so we couldn't record a proper episode of the podcast. It's not really Dear Hank and John. It's sort of Hank and John, because we're not answering any questions.
This is an edition of Hank and John, yes.
We're not answering any questions this week because we had this series of long business meetings that made it impossible to make a podcast.
It felt wrong on a week when there was a lot of news from Mars and AFC Wimbledon to just not have a podcast.
Arguably the most significant weeks of Mars and AFC Wimbledon news in years over the last month or so since since Perseverance landed on Mars, Hank. AFC Wimbledon have won four straight football games for the first time in 5 years. The last time we won four straight football games, we were a fourth tier English soccer team.
Wow.
Now we're in the third tier, and my God, we might stay, because despite spending almost the entire season in the relegation zone for the, I don't know, 7 millionth consecutive year, AFC Wimbledon has turned it on in the last weeks of the season and has somehow found a way to get out of the relegation zone. There is still work to do, but I want to talk, I want to break it down for you a little bit, Hank, and then we will turn our attention to the astonishing news that there is a helicopter flying on Mars. Maybe not right now, but there has been recently and there will be again soon.
It may be. Who knows? It might be right now as you're listening. But before we get to that, I want to say, so I've looked at this League One table. There are three teams that have won four of their last five games.
I know.
One is number one ranked Hull City.
Yep.
One is number 19 ranked AFC Wimbledon. Whoop, whoop. And the other is number 20th Wigan Athletic.
I know.
Like, get off our butts, Wigan.
I know. Take it down a notch, Wigan. This isn't the time to get hot, okay? That's our thing. That's what we do.
That's what we do. And they're literally... Right, they're
it's very close,
and they're 1 point behind.
I know,
but is the bottom four?
Yeah, it's the bottom four. So actually, I don't care a lick if we finish in 19th or 20th, as long as we finish in 19th or 20th. So,
and there's a pretty big gap between Wigan and Northampton.
Wigan and AFC Wimbledon can be the two teams that stay up. That's fine. But basically, there is a
why not? Wigan is an amazing name. I know how to pronounce it. It sounds cool.
Yeah. They used to be in the Premier League and they actually won the FA Cup like 10 years ago. But anyway, this isn't about Wigan.
Wow, that's very weird. If you wanted to follow up a word like the word Wigan with something, I wouldn't have assumed Athletic.
It definitely doesn't lend itself to a football team name. But Hank, let's turn our attention to AFC Wimbledon for a second.
Yes.
Our coach, Mark Robinson, joined AFC Wimbledon as a volunteer coaching the kids in 2004, and he has risen through the ranks, and he has recently taken charge of AFC Wimbledon, and since he took charge, everything is different, including my intense, overwhelming love for this football club. In the last four games, we have scored 14 goals. 19-year-old Ayoub Assal, who earlier this season was playing in the sixth division of English football, who everyone was saying was never going to be good enough to make it. He hasn't just made it. He is unplayable. He is 5'8" tall when he stands on his tiptoes. He weighs 112 pounds and he is an unstoppable force of nature. He's so fast. Nobody knows what to do with him. He's incredible. I love him. Joe Piggott, our talismanic forward, has been just doing Joe Piggott things, scoring goals like crazy. Ollie Palmer, who you'll remember, Hank, early in the season, I was like, Wimbledon at last have what we need, a very tall person. Ollie Palmer has finally been playing, and he's playing great because he's finally not injured. And we are scoring goals for fun. Even our former captain, who's played for AFC Wimbledon since he was 9 years old, our central defender, Will Nightingale, has been back in the team. Will Nightingale scored one goal, Hank, one goal in his first 110 appearances for AFC Wimbledon. He has scored two goals in the last three games and would have scored a third except for an Oxford United player reached out on the goal line and grabbed the ball to stop it from going in, got a red card, and we scored the ensuing penalty and then went on to win the game.
Is that a thing? Like what's the sort of etiquette around that? Because I've certainly been in a situation in the like 8 soccer games I've played in where I could have done that.
Yeah.
Where I was like, I just can't get to that ball with my foot, but I could grab it with my hand.
I think the only time you should do it is when it's like in the last minute, you know? This was still with like 30 minutes left in the game or so, which is just way too early. But he did it. And then the moment the referee blew the whistle, he just like looked down at the ground and started to walk off the field. Like he didn't wait for the red card. He knew what he had done.
Everyone knows what happened here.
But we came back in that game.
To prevent a goal from occurring that I knew was illegal.
Yeah, and I have suffered the consequences. Mm-hmm. So we came back in that game from 1-0 down to win 2-1, and we really needed to win that game because all the other teams at the bottom are also winning a lot, but now we are 5 points clear of the relegation zone with 4 games to play. It's all in our hands. We probably need to win one of those games out of those 4.
And one of them is Rochdale, who is...
Yeah.
Or Rochdale or Rochdale. No one knows for sure.
Nobody knows.
Who has won 3 games in the last 5.
I know.
But is also one of the worst teams in the league.
Yeah. So hopefully we can get a result against them, maybe pick up a point somewhere else, and find a way to stay up. It is all still in the balance, but...
It seems doable.
I mean, Hank, the crazy thing is this all happened in like a 10-day period. Like 2 weeks ago on a Saturday afternoon in England, we went 1-0 down against Accrington Stanley. That was the moment when I thought to myself, well, it's over. Like, we had this, you know, 3 heroic years of overperforming, and it's just not going to happen for us this year. And then we won that game 5-1. Like, what happened? I think the answer has to be that Mark Robinson happened. Mark Robinson, I mean, I would run through walls for the guy. After this critical, critical win against Oxford United, Mark Robinson, one of the most likable things about him is that his Twitter username is something like Mark Robinson 987316425. It has like 17 numbers after his name because I don't think he knows how to use Twitter. But after the game, he didn't tweet about the fact that he has just led the team that he started out as a volunteer for 20 years ago to 4 straight victories. He tweeted, the most important result of today was that our under 15 side beat Arsenal's under 15 side. Those kids know that it's about more than football.
Wow.
So
he's good enough at Twitter.
Oh, I mean, yes, exactly. Also, he doesn't like respond to people who bait him in comments, which makes him better than me.
I don't know. Are you not doing better at that? I noticed that you did get a little bit on Twitter.
I lost my temper when Liverpool Football Club, without consulting the fans or indeed the players or indeed the manager of the team, agreed to join the European Super League, a now defunct
bad idea
league that. that from which you could not be relegated. That was essentially the whole shtick of it, was that these billionaires were like, oh, you know what would preserve our billion-dollar investments is if we couldn't be relegated. So let's invent a soccer competition that you can't lose.
But you can win, though.
Exactly. It's
yeah, like, well, like us. You
late
know.
Stage capitalism at its finest. Oh, it's just been a wonderful, wonderful week in terms of AFC Wimbledon results, and long may it continue. Hank, what's the news from Mars?
Oh my God, there's so much.
I know.
Well, first of all, NASA's Perseverance rover, Percy as we call it, pooped out a helicopter and then drove away. And then that helicopter first tried to spin its little blades, and then something went wrong. And then it was a software problem.
I became very pessimistic after that initial problem.
Well, because we've had a couple of things on Mars where it's been like, ooh, didn't go exactly as planned, probably will be fine. And then every update ever since then was like, actually, it's worse than we thought.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
So that's been very much the case with the InSight lander, which also does have news, and it is bad news. But Ingenuity is great news because they did a software update. They figured out what the problem was. I don't know what it was. Some complicated software thing. And it took off. It flew up into the air 5 meters. It's a 4-pound device. And it has a surprisingly wide wingspan. But the wings are made of this like super light carbon material. And they don't push through a lot of air. So it's pretty easy to push them really fast. But they have to be big and they have to go really fast because there isn't a lot of air.
Right.
And it flew up and then landed safely. And then it did a second test where it flew up and then sort of like wiggled side to side to make sure that that worked. And we've gotten pictures of it flying. We have not gotten any pictures from it, which, or maybe we have by the time this comes out. But that's part of what we're hoping to get out of this is like some cool or interesting video of Mars. Now, Ingenuity has a lifespan. It's not designed to last forever. But I will say, sometimes NASA puts lifespans on things that turn out to not be the case.
Yeah, I mean, that first rover had a lifespan of like 18 months, and it lived for like 30 years.
No, it had the mission was supposed to be like weeks.
Yeah.
And it lasted years.
Yeah, it was great.
And part of that is the solar panel situation on Mars, which is that engineers expected that dust would build up in the solar panels, and when you have a solar panel craft,
right,
it's just over for it. And what turned out to happen is that occasionally there are these cleaning events where like a particular kind of breeze blows by, and instead of depositing dust, it removes it, and that has allowed solar panel experiments, including Ingenuity, solar powered, to last longer than expected. But InSight has not had this experience. Mm. And its solar panels are currently so covered in dust that it is going to sleep in the hopes, and they'll monitor the weather in that area in the hopes that it will be able to turn back on. But it is not clear at all whether that will be a thing that will happen. So that's the bad news for Mars. But the good news is that Ingenuity is currently doing its thing. If you search for Ingenuity to learn more about its mission, you can click on, there's a little like helicopter version of it that sort of spins over in the side on Google.
No.
You click on it and it will do a little dance for you. It comes and flies out. It's very cool.
That's very cool. I also have to say, I was amazed by the video footage of Ingenuity flying on Mars. I was very impressed that, I mean, my main thought was, you know, in 2008, like we didn't even have those cameras to make YouTube videos with, let alone to make Mars helicopter videos with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It looked good.
It looks very good. It's exciting. And I guess we have gotten some photos from it because it does takes a downward picture to make sure that it's like in the right spot. The other news from Mars, and so this is like all adding up, is that there's an experiment on Mars. I can't even remember what the name of it is. Maybe I'll talk about it more next week, but that exists to try and manufacture oxygen from the Martian atmosphere, and it was successful.
Oh, good.
So it basically squeezes carbon dioxide and then increases the pressure of it and then puts it in the presence of this hot catalyst, and that breaks it down into oxygen, O2, breathable oxygen, burnable oxygen, and carbon monoxide, which is then just let go away because we don't want that. And it's working. We have manufactured oxygen on the surface of Mars, which is like extremely necessary if we want to get people to Mars, because we can't bring all of our fuel or air with us. We will have to manufacture some of it on Mars because it's just too heavy to carry all that around. So that is amazing news. Now, there's other ways to make oxygen on Mars, the big one being electrolysis of water, but mining water is still a big question. We're not sure how we're going to do that. Whereas carbon dioxide, it's very easy to get that. It's everywhere. It's not the concentration, it is not like the amount of like atmospheric pressure we have on Earth, but I think there's actually more CO2 in Mars's atmosphere than there is in ours. Mm. It's just that there isn't very much in ours. Though
well,
more and more
not
every
yet.
Year. I don't know at what point we will approach.
Give
Mars's
us some time, Hank. Give us some time.
There's also bad news. It's just the rest. But AFC Limited and Mars are doing great.
Yeah. I mean, it's just been a wonderful, wonderful. I can't. These opportunities,
yeah, four in a row.
These opportunities do not come along very often. You know, like it really is a sort of once every 5 year event. Although maybe under the leadership of Mark Robinson, this is just going to become normal and regular. Because the thing is, Hank, it's mostly the same players. And the extent to which it's not the same players, it's like younger players from the youth team who've been promoted. One of the things that I'm the proudest of is that when I look at AFC Wimbledon's squad today, I see a lot of players who joined the team when they were like 9 or 10 years old and played on the youth teams and are now playing professional football. And that's very rare. Like it's very rare that your team is comprised of, you know, youth players who graduated from the academy. So I'm really proud of that. Proud. And I have to say, after Ayoub Assal scored one of his kajillion goals of the last 10 days, he did this wonderful jump up in the air where he like raised his fist in one of his celebrations. This kid is amazing. He's 19 years old and he's just, I can't believe him. He is such a joy to watch on the football field. Anyway, he jumped up, he like raised his fist, and the way that it was photographed, Hank, you could really see that DFTBA logo on the back of the shorts in the liminal space between left thigh and buttock. And it just looked really, really good. I was like, that is an excellent, high quality marketing impression of the letters DFTBA.
Oh gosh. Wow, he looks young.
I know. And he's all of the players are so great in interviews. They are an absolute joy to watch. It is clear that they are as relieved or maybe more relieved as anyone else. Like they are enjoying this so much. And it's just a special, special time. I am so grateful to Mark Robinson. I am so excited for the future. I'm really, really hopeful that we can see 9,000 people inside of Plough Lane when the new season starts. And hopefully that'll be in the third tier of English football. Long way to go. A lot could still happen, but hope springs eternal, as it does on Mars.
As it does on Mars. The only player in the game here of dear Hank and John is younger than Ayoub Assal is Mars's Ingenuity helicopter.
That's true.
just a wee lad.
Yeah, it's true.
Four pounds. A small bottom. No, big bottom, small. Yeah, as you might say.
Yeah. Indeed.
John, thank you for making a podcast, a brief podcast with me to update everyone. Sorry, there's no questions.
No, we'll be back next week with a proper episode. We'll but in the meantime, go watch AFC Wimbledon and Mars highlights. They're full of joy.
Full of joy. And get a vaccine if you can.
Yes. All right. Thanks, Hank, for squeezing that in. But do get go make today the day that you get your appointment. And as they say in our hometown, don't forget to be awesome.